This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In conjunction with International Women's Day, which was yesterday, the 8th of March, we're going to talk about inventions and discoveries by women that have changed the way the world works today. Modern history is steeped with women whose inventions have continued to influence the modern world. People like Ann Tsukamoto, whose work on stem cell isolation changed the way we understand the blood systems of cancer patients, which could one day lead to a cure for the disease. Hopefully. Tsukamoto is now researching stem cell growth and is the co-patentee on more than 7 other inventions. Then you have people like Mary Anderson, who was visiting New York City when she noticed that her driver was forced to open his window just to clear the snow from his windscreen. So she started working on a blade-like device that would wipe the snow from the windscreen, and in 1903 she was awarded a patent for the earliest version of the windscreen wiper. Unfortunately, she never got to profit from it because car companies thought it would distract drivers? Because we're all cats chasing after red dots, I guess? I don't know. But her invention is basically the reason why you can drive in the rain today. There are also people like Dr. Shirley Ann Jackson, who was a pioneer in telecommunication technology, especially in the field of portable fax and fiber optic cables and solar cells. But Dr. Shirley is most famous for inventing caller ID and the call waiting function. I mean, you know, if it wasn't for her, you'd have to answer your phone every single time it rang, but now that you can see who's calling, you can decide if you really want to talk to this person or pretend like you're too busy to take their call. Thank you, Dr. Shirley. I'm going to discuss 5 other women besides the ones I've just mentioned, whose inventions have changed the world that we live in for the better. And to kick things off, we're going to talk about a woman who, how do I put this? She's one of the people who invented the digital age that we live in today. Yeah, I'm not even exaggerating when I say this. Her name is Dr. Grace Murray Hopper, and she invented the first form of user-friendly computer language back in the 1950s. This is 5 for Fortune with Arvind Yuvaraj, and this episode is called Inventions by Women That Changed the World, an International Women's Day 2018 special. By the way, I've got some friends from the station to help me out on today's episode. So here's Enterprise's own Christine Wong to tell you how Grace Hopper helped invent the future that we're living in today.
Number 1.
The digital age we live in today basically started with the advent of user-friendly computers. And user-friendly computers were made possible because of modern programming languages like COBOL, or Common Business-Oriented Language, which was developed by Dr. Grace Murray Hopper back in 1959. By the 1970s, COBOL had grown into the most extensively used computer language in the world, and it was also the first user-friendly computer software for business applications. But that's not all Dr. Hopper was known for. You see, Grace was a bit of a multitasker back in the day who didn't seem to understand the words age and quit. After joining the US Navy during the Second World War, Grace Hopper, now known as Rear Admiral Grace Hopper, was assigned to work on a new computer. Now, keep in mind that this wasn't your standard IT post. Computers weren't exactly the compact, fit-in-your-backpack machines they are today. So in 1944, alongside another pioneer in the field by the name of Howard Eichen, Grace developed the Harvard Mark I, a massive 5-ton, room-sized machine that made a lot of noise. But her greatest contribution to the world was narrowing the human-computer divide by creating a compiler, which could translate instructions into code that computers can read, making programming quicker and ultimately revolutionizing the way computers worked. So you have a Rear Admiral literally redefining the modern world by inventing the digital age in the midst of a Second World War. Kind of makes you want to redefine the term keyboard warrior, doesn't it?
They started talking about circuits that acted in nanoseconds. Billionths of a second. Oh, I didn't know what a billion was. I don't think most of those men downtown know what a billion is either. And if you don't know what a billion is, how on earth do you know what a billionth is? Finally, one morning, in total desperation, I called over to the engineering building, and I said, please cut off a nanosecond and send it over to me. And I've brought you some today. Now, what I wanted when I asked for a nanosecond was, I wanted a piece of wire which would represent the maximum distance that electricity could travel in a billionth of a second. Now, of course, it wouldn't really be through wire. beyond space, velocity of light. So if you start with the velocity of light and use your friendly computer, you'll discover that a nanosecond is 11.8 inches long.
Oh, and casually, she also coined the term bugs and debugging in relation to computers after, you know, a moth was removed from inside her machine. Not even kidding. These were the good old days when computer bugs were actually really just bugs and not system-crippling, impossible-to-remove malware. Anyway, Amazing Grace, as she was fondly known, continued working with computers until she retired from the U.S. Navy as its oldest serving officer at age 79. In 2016, she was posthumously awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is only America's highest civilian honor, for her contributions to the field of computer science. Amazing Grace, indeed.
Amazing Grace, indeed. It's the stuff we take for granted, right? I mean, nowadays it's as easy as taking a picture and sharing it with a million hashtags, or venting on Facebook about how someone parked their car the wrong way, or tweeting about the, you know, the shocking mid-season finale of your favorite show, the one with dragons and zombies. The ease of interaction, basically, with computers is so effortless, and it's like second nature to us. But just a few decades ago, someone had to figure out a language to make even the simplest of data entry possible, and that person was Grace Hopper. Anyway, moving on to our second segment. Ever wondered where Kevlar came from? You know, the stuff bulletproof vests and armor is made of? Ever wondered who invented it? The Evening Edition's Tasha Fusil has all the details on Kevlar, the DuPont company, and how a woman named Stephanie Kolek made it all happen.
Number 2.
In 1965, a woman by the name of Stephanie Kolek developed a synthetic fiber that is so strong, it's literally bulletproof. And interestingly enough, it all kinda happened by accident. See, when Stephanie Kolek started working at the DuPont company back in 1964, her team was originally tasked with finding a fiber that was incredibly strong, yet relatively lightweight, to be used in DuPont's new line of tires. Kolek's team researched different materials and combinations for over a year. And then one day, Stephanie made an unexpected breakthrough when she created a new fiber that could withstand incredible amounts of damage. In fact, the fiber was 5 times stronger than steel. DuPont knew that they had something special in their possession and immediately patented the fiber that very same year under the name Kevlar, which is now predominantly used in bulletproof vests and military helmets because of its highly protective properties. So Stephanie Kolek's bulletproof fiber has saved thousands of lives over the years, from policemen who have survived gunshots thanks to their body armor, to firemen who have avoided burns thanks to Kevlar woven into their protective clothing, as well as construction workers who are able to withstand the full force of falling objects thanks to their safety helmets. The amount of safety provided by Kevlar is, in every sense of the word, immeasurable. The fiber has been embedded into all kinds of everyday items, like cut-resistant gloves, walking boots, car and bicycle tires, and because of how tough the material is, you'll also find different forms of Kevlar in mobile phones, aeroplanes, and suspension bridges. In 1995, Kolek became the fourth woman to be inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame for her contribution to the world. I guess sometimes the best inventions happen by accident. But what's important is that both Stephanie and the DuPont company knew how to properly apply their newfound fiber the right way. And in doing so, saved an uncountable number of lives in the process. We're going to take a quick break to get some messages in, but do stick around because when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about how in the early 90s, a doctor by the name of Fiona Wood revolutionized medical treatment for burn victims when she created spray on skin. Fight for Fortune, Inventions by Women That Changed the World, will be back in a bit. BFM 89.9.
Breaking Financial Matters, BFM 89.9.
Hello and welcome back to a special International Women's Day episode of 5 for Fortune, and we are talking about inventions by women that changed the world. Before the break, we spoke about how Grace Hopper, or Amazing Grace as she was called, helped invent some of the earliest forms of computer language, and then we covered how Stephanie Kolek invented Kevlar, the bulletproof fiber, during her tenure at the DuPont company. Let's talk about the medical field for a second, and how in the early 90s, a doctor by the name of Fiona Wood revolutionized medical treatment for burn victims when she created spray on skin to cut down recovery time. The bigger picture's Juliet Jacobs has all the details.
Number three.
Actually, there are two women in this story, Dr. Fiona Wood and medical scientist Marie Stoner, and they both came up with the idea of spray on skin to treat burn victims, as opposed to growing skin for them in a culture flask. And when I say spray on skin, I literally mean skin that's dissolved by an enzyme that's sprayed directly onto a burn victim to encourage the growth of new skin with minimal scarring. You see, burn-induced injuries are particularly complicated because of how susceptible the patient is to infection once the protective layer of the skin has been destroyed or damaged. It's therefore extremely important to fix the patient's skin before it creates secondary issues. But then the problem of the time it takes for skin to grow in a culture flask comes in, and in most cases, the victim either succumbs to terrible scarring, infections, or in more intense cases, doesn't survive at all. All that changed in 1993 when Dr. Fiona Wood and her colleague Marie Stoner started working on the idea of cutting down the time it took to regraft skin on burn victims. So the basic idea was to grow skin directly on the patient so that the wait time would go from weeks to just days. And for a while this idea kind of worked until Fiona and Marie failed to line gloves with skin or to attach cells under an adhesive dressing. That's when one frustrated researcher said, "Geez, you know, we should just spray this stuff on." It was meant partly as a joke and as a throwaway suggestion, but in that moment, a light bulb went off and both Fiona and Marie knew that this was their solution moving forward. So they invented spray on skin, and it worked. They decided to call it RECELL. The thing is, no one outside the medical community knew much about this revolutionary treatment called RECELL until 2002, when victims of a terrorist attack in Bali, Indonesia, were airlifted to the Royal Perth Hospital for urgent treatment. So RECELL was used to treat severely burned victims of the attack, and in most cases, it worked a lot better than previously used treatments for similar injuries. Of course, RECELL also came under heavy scrutiny when it suddenly exploded into mainstream consciousness. Some people called it profiteering, to which Fiona has responded by saying she understands the dilemma, but you can't do much or make better treatments without money. While others have questioned Fiona's actions of using experimental treatment on patients in dire need of help. Fiona has enough evidence and papers to back RECELL and address these criticisms as well.
We established a company such that the royalties could go into our research foundation, and we assigned our intellectual property to the foundation to try and facilitate that research going forward. The whole RECELL technology is driven to be the fastest way we can get cells in the right place. And so it cut down the time such that we could harvest cells at the bedside and cut down the cell time in the laboratory.
If you search for interviews with Fiona Wood on either YouTube or Google, you'll see that she has an extremely positive energy about her. She's always eager to learn more and to do more. And it's that positive attitude that has allowed her to think outside the box and help burn victims in a way that was never before possible. Here's hoping that she never stops learning, experimenting, and discovering new ways to save lives with her inventions to help the people who need it the most.
Speaking of medical advancements and helping people, I want to highlight a woman by the name of Gertrude Illion. Now, Gertrude, alongside her colleague George Hitchings, changed modern medicine and drug making when they developed a method called rational drug design. Their research allowed them to interfere successfully with cell growth, which led to the development of the first effective drug for treating leukemia, along with several other illnesses. Gertrude also discovered azathioprine, which is an immunosuppressant that made it possible for people with with weak immune systems to receive organ transplants. Their concepts literally changed the way we treat things like gout and malaria, herpes, and a bunch of other illnesses, giving patients a better chance of survival in the process. Anyway, for our next segment, let's talk about eco-friendliness and solar-heated homes, and how a biophysicist by the name of Maria Telquez was the first person to fully power a house using nothing but the power of the sun. For this story, here's Lynn Mark to tell us more.
Number 4.
We've been talking a lot about solar energy and powering homes with environmentally friendly resources ever since the threat of global warming became a lot more evident over the last decade or so. But the original concept of a solar-powered home wouldn't have been possible without the work and research of biophysicist Dr. Maria Telquez, one of the pioneers in the field of natural, renewable energy. More specifically, Maria Telquez was focused on harnessing the power of the sun to keep homes without internal heating warm through the harsh winter seasons. Originally from Hungary, Maria Telquez moved to the US in 1925 and worked at MIT on the university's solar energy project. After nearly 20 years of research in the field, Maria started working extensively with an architect by the name of Eleanor Raymond to develop the first solar-heated house. It wasn't until 1947 that the duo invented the thermoelectric power generator to provide heat for the Dover House in Massachusetts. It was a system that applied Glauber's salt, or the sodium salt of sulfuric acid, to store heat in preparation for sunless days. And you know, the Dover House wasn't exactly small. It had 5 bedrooms, and Maria and Eleanor managed to keep all of them warm with no auxiliary power whatsoever. The concept was actually so effective that the Dover House survived nearly 3 winters before the system failed, which in 1947 was, you know, pretty groundbreaking. So here's the thing. Maria Telquez will always be associated with the Dover House and the hope of a clean energy future, but that's not her only achievement. Here's what the New York Times wrote about Maria Telquez in a tribute piece they did back in 1996, a few months after Maria passed away at the age of 95. Dr. Telquez also developed a solar saltwater still for the Navy in World War II, which saved the lives of torpedoed sailors and downed airmen. She spent many, many years experimenting with stoves that used solar energy for their heat and were simple and cheap enough for use by villagers in poor or arid regions. She also worked on an air conditioning system in the 1970s that stored coolness at night for use the next day. The idea was to reduce power demand during hot spells and lower the risk of electrical brownouts and blackouts. Now, I'll be the first to admit that this story is a little bittersweet. Because as much as we should celebrate Maria's accomplishments, we should also reflect on the time it has taken us to put these concepts into widespread action. We're still struggling to become a relatively eco-friendly society. While corporations are slowly starting to realize how important it is to turn to renewable energy, we still have a long way to go before every house becomes a Dover House. But if and when it happens, you'll have Maria Telquez to thank for showing us the way.
All right, final segment on today's episode. If you're just tuning in, this is an International Women's Day episode of 5 for Fortune, and we are highlighting women who invented and discovered things that would completely change the world that we live in for the better. If you miss any part of the show, you can always download it again using the BFM app, available for free on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. Now, for our final segment, let's look at the achievements of one of the greatest chemists of her time, Dr. Catherine Blodgett, who made a huge discovery when she figured out how to create non-reflective or invisible glass. Here's Style Files' Adeline Chung with our fifth story of today's episode.
Number 5.
What do cameras, microscopes, and prescription glasses have in common? They all depend on non-reflective glass in order to function. In fact, none of these things would even be possible without the invention of non-reflective or invisible glass by an accomplished engineer and the first woman to receive a doctorate in physics from Cambridge University by the name of Catherine Burr Blodgett. Catherine's most important breakthroughs in the field of science, or more specifically, surface chemistry, happened after she joined General Electric. In fact, Catherine was GE's first ever female scientist. Here, she worked with the world famous scientist and physicist Irving Langmuir and contributed years of research to her field, but none more important than the non-reflective glass. She basically carried out independent research on an oily substance that Irving had developed in the lab and discovered a way to transfer the thin monomolecular coatings to other glass and metals.
You'll see that the reflection is troublesome from the uncoated glass on this side, but it's not at all troublesome from this lens over as far as this line of demarcation. When I turn my head away from the light, both lenses appear the same.
She eventually figured out a new way of measuring transparent objects in 1938 when she realized that measuring the substance gave her a way to eliminate glare and distortion in glass. Her invention is the reason why we have non-reflective eyeglasses, better cameras, better microscopes, and even better cinematography thanks to better lenses used for filming movies. But that's not all Catherine Blodgett did in her lifetime. During the Second World War, Catherine made another outstanding breakthrough when she invented the smokescreen, which is a device that literally saved countless lives by protecting the troops and shielding them from the exposure of toxic smoke and gases on the battlefield. It's honestly amazing to think about the influence Catherine Blodgett has on the world. We still, to this day, use her discoveries in everything from photography to medicine. Yet, we also take things like the non-reflective glass for granted because of how simple that sounds, without realizing that not too long ago, someone like Catherine had to spend years and years of research to come up with her discovery.
That is all the time that we have for this episode of 5 for Fortune. Major thank yous all around to Christine, Tasha, Juliet, Lynn and Adeline for all those stories. And if you enjoyed this episode, take a minute to share it on your social media feeds to your friends and your family. Get the word around, do the tweets and all that. Also, stick around because Enterprise Biz Bytes is up in just a bit and we've got a bunch of good business and tech stories to keep you up to date. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj on 5 for Fortune, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.